Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. Wow.
It's going to be made plain.
Exactly, and you're going to realize why you're going to be punished. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. God always sent the prophet. With every one of these chapters in Jeremiah and Isaiah starts with, and the Lord came to Jeremiah, go here and do this. Go there and do this. He says, I haven't sent these fellows. They don't wear my jacket. They wear someone else's jacket, yet they went running to and fro on the earth, prophesying out of their mouths from another source, but it wasn't me.
Is that where Jesus said, many have come in my name?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Many right. come in my name, yeah. Yep. But they are spouting that they belong to God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way. But they did not, and from the evil of their doings. But no, they went it to the people and said, what you're doing is just fine. Mm-hmm. You're good people. Mm-hmm. The world is full of good people, and God loves good people. God wants you to be a good person, but he wants you to follow him with all your heart. If you're out in the world being whatever the world wants you to be good, yeah, that's great that you're a good person, but God says there are none that sit on the fence. You're either for me, following after me, or you're against me. I don't care how good a person you are by the world's standards, because by my standards, you are sinful and deserve hell. By the sin of one, the simplest of sins, being born through the procreation of your mother and father, you come into this world sinful. And after that, you add to it yourself. And the only way to get rid of it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The law cannot help you. It cannot save you. It would only momentarily cover you for the next few seconds until you're sinful again by the simplest thing as a random thought going through your head or touching a piece of dirt that had a dead insect in it. It's that easy. Or by accident, sitting on a piece of furniture that a menstrual woman had sit on a little while earlier, touching the doorknob of a sinful person. It's that easy under the law, because the law was punishment. Punishment because they would not follow God with all his heart like he gave to Abraham the original covenant. I give to you an everlasting covenant, Abraham. Everlasting. God's promises are forever. God does not take his words back.
I was about to say, his words aren't empty when he says them.
Yes, everlasting. That's why Christ was under the first covenant given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Oh, Christ fulfilled the law. He did, because he was a sinless man. He worked on the Sabbath. That broke the law. But fortunately, Christ was not under the law. The only way he could be a perfect sacrifice, had he been under the law, working on the Sabbath would have made him sinful, and his sacrifice would not have been powerful enough to overcome hell as it did. So, I'll read that once again. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. These pastors and these modern day pastors and prophets were not of God. Are mm-hmm. not of God, although they paint themselves of God. Mm-hmm. Because they did not get these words from me. I am not preaching a feel-good gospel. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I am preaching the original covenant renewed by Christ. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Circumcision of the heart. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Interesting. Am I a God at hand? Am I right here, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Oh, man. You feel like I'm not present, God says. Mm-hmm. But I'm right here, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And the Israelites, we would watch them. Back when the tabernacle was in the camp and God's presence could physically be seen, Mm-hmm. You see the whirlwind or you see the smoke. And as soon as he leapt, the people would just start doing whatever they wanted to do. But he's saying right here, it's not a physical presence anymore, but I am here. I'm here, and if you know me, you can feel me. If you don't know me, you can't feel me, but I'm here. There's nothing you can do in secret that I don't know about. I feel all heaven and all earth. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I've seen them tell evangelists.
Oh, yes.
I've had a vision. Right. I had a dream. And if some of them were correct, I humbly apologize, but televangelists are so into theatrics, and I've been in some Pentecostal churches where that specific theatric was used a lot. I've had a prophecy. I've had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have heard what the prophet said. I have heard what the pastor said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed a dream. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. I knew a good friend of mine was a pastor of a holiness church, and I was with him one day, and all of a sudden he just stood still, and he says, I've had a prophecy that I will be doing some writing here soon. Really?
Yeah.
I
right.
will be doing some writing.
Just like the angel that came down and said,
yes, I will place a wild man inside you, Hagar.
Yep.
Yes. No, yes, your prophecies do never begin with I.
Mm-mm. There's only one person who's got the I.
Yes, the great I am.
Yeah.
Oh, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Yes, and that's what the feel-good modern religions will... You forget God. It's all about being a good person. And as far as a citizen of the country goes, yes, that's a wonderful thing to be a good person. But to just be a good person and die and be judged by God... because you did not follow him, you did not choose a side. That is what this entire life is about. God says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. You're here as a testing ground. You have to find your way to me because you belong to me, but I'm giving you this chance in life, a proving ground. You're going through the veil of innocence of birth. You forget all that you knew of me. And it's for you to find your way back to me because you're being tested. And it's the ultimate test. And you don't get an A, B, C, D, or an F. Okay? There's only two scores. You have found your way to me, or you are going to be cast into hell because you refused to follow me with all your heart. I've even made it easier now with my son. If you find your way to me through the blood of Jesus Christ, you will get an A on the exam. You know, the law, you could be way down on the law. You could be just almost at a failing score on the law, or you could be way up on the law. And then we read further into the law, and it really didn't matter because God gave it as a punishment. Even those scoring high on the law ended up in hell, in paradise, as just like the one scoring low on the law. Because it was just something that the people could do with their hands to prove to God that they at least wanted to try to follow after him.
People actually went back and read the Exodus and got to the point to where they read right before the law was given and everything like that. God gave the law in anger because they were saying that they wanted a king.
Yes.
Someone to lead them.
Yes.
And God was setting them free to be themselves.
Yep.
But yet they decided that they needed some kind of monarchy.
Yes. And then he later said, I gave the law in vain.
Right.
It done you no good, right. And it brought me misery.
Right. So he gave it so that they would go, they would understand, or it would be like you give somebody an impossible task so that you know that it's impossible for them to do.
Yeah.
But you're hoping that they actually realize that it's like, look, I can't do this without you. So they come back to you and say, hey, I need your help with this.
Yeah. They couldn't do it spiritually. Right. They couldn't follow God spiritually. So at least show me you're willing to do things with your hands to prove to me you're trying a little bit.
Right.
And there were those that didn't try any at all, those that tried a little bit, those that tried a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was to prove to them that it's better to follow, to obey me is better than sacrifice. He says dozens of times in here, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obeying God trumps the law. That's why Christ trumped the law. He obeyed God absolutely, 100%.
That's why it's called a stumbling block.
Yes, it is, stumbling block. Verse 28, the prophet, the pastor that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he hath a word, let him speak a word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Ah, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I will be able to tell the difference. There is a difference between the chaff and the wheat. One is valuable, one is a weed. I will break like a hammer, and I will burn the chaff with fire. The hammer breaks the wheat into a usable substance. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. I am against the pastors, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I cannot. God has put it in my head today, these feel-good doctrines that are being preached, these prosperity doctrines that are being preached. It takes away from the meaning, the true meaning of worshiping God. Worship me, follow me with all your heart, and I will give you the needs that you have. Follow me with all of your heart, and I'll even fulfill the desires of your soul, he says. Don't follow after me expecting a payday. Don't just try to be a good person, because we that gets you nowhere in the spirit, in the kingdom of God. Yeah, sure, it's nice that you're a good person, but that's not why you're here. You're here to worship God. He made you for a purpose. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Ah.
Yeah, that's one I've always contemplated. It was like the people, and I'll make this really quick, the ones that are like, hey, I woke up this morning and asked God which shoe I should tie first, and he's like, hey, go over to the left one. It's like, whoa, what? Is he really that minuscule to you? Like, as in, I'm all about, you know, approaching God in everything that you do and stuff like that. I don't always do it, but I think, anyhow.
Yes. Would you, now, just, and this is not nearly this scale, but would, if you worked in the mailroom, would you go up to the CEO's office and ask him which mail he wanted you to sort first that day?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Would you really ask God which shoe to tie?
Right.
You know, I think this book says, praise God while you're tying your shoes.
Yes.
Praise God while you're putting on your clothes. Praise God while you're driving to work. Have a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. They will appear to profit in this life. God's talking about the real life to come. This little temporary place here, you know what? Money is going to get you nowhere. Fame is going to get you nowhere. Power is going to get you nowhere, because this little temporary life ends very shortly. Mm-hmm. For some of us, it ends quicker than others. And then the real life begins, the life of eternity. God says they're going to have nothing in that life. Every pastor that's ever walked up to a podium needs to read Jeremiah 23, because it's aimed at you, and you better study it and realize whether you're doing God's work or your own work. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? What's the word of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. What message? Yeah. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the message of the Lord? Question mark. thou shalt then say unto them, What message? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. You do not have a message for the flock from me, and you're calling yourself a pastor. You're in big trouble. You get your messages from me. Read my book. If you worship me with all your heart, I'll give you the message right into your heart as you're reading my book. This is the only place that a message to the flock will come from, Pastor. This book. And while you're reading it, God will anoint your heart with what he wants you to tell his people. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people, that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Wow. Pastors without a message from God, not just you, you are putting your entire family and household in danger of punishment from God. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, every one to his brother. What hath the Lord answered? What hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye shall perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of the host of God. Now you need to, when you read this, replace that word burden with message, because that's what it is entailing there. So let's read it like that. And the message of the Lord shall ye mention no more. Because at a certain point, you're calling yourself a pastor, but you're not representing me. At a certain point, there will be nothing from me going to you, says God. For every man's word shall be his message. And that's what these feel-good doctrines are preaching every day. Send in your $1,000 seed offering. I love doing that one.
Oh, yeah.
And God will bless you because you have blessed me. I need another jet airplane. The other three, the paint has gotten bad.
Yeah.
And we're going to get a really nice paint job on this 747 that we need.
That's right.
And it only costs $200,000 an hour to operate. But if you continue with that seed offering, I mean, even if you're on Social Security, God will send you more money somehow if you send it to me. Oh, that's a bunch of gobbledygook. And God is laying it out here for those who do that to his children. But be careful, children. He's also saying, if you continually sit under that, you're going to be punished too, because you have the word right in front of you and you can prove it at any time. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, to the pastor, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? Question him, God says. Question him. Where'd you get this information? Where'd you get this doctrine at?
Mm-hmm.
But since ye say, the message of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the message of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, the message of the Lord. You better not say it come from me, because it's coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of your feeble mind and your own desires. You better not say it coming from me, Pastor. If you say it's coming from me, it better come out of my book. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. That sounds like hell to me, doesn't it, Jonathan?
Yeah. I mean, if you're disconnected from God, there's nothing worse than that in the universe.
And you're preaching to his flock,
yeah,
and you are totally disconnected from God. He says, I will cast you out of my presence. That's not just like you go to Revelation 3 and 4, and that's not a little doctrine problem.
Mm-mm.
You know, some of the churches, yeah, they're following after God, but they have some doctrine problems. These pastors are preaching what comes out of their own mouths.
Straight.
For their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the Levites, for their own profit, for their own desires, for their own power, for their own Hollywood on stage.
Yeah.
And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. And that is hell. And from the boundaries of the kingdom, during the reign of Christ, it says you will be able to look at those sitting over there as a reminder of what you shouldn't do.
Like the man looking up at Abraham, yes, asking for Lazarus to bring him a drop of water.
It's a drop of water. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's been a wild ride here. Pastors, get yourself straight. God says, I will treat those pastors that preach a false doctrine as a murderer and a thief. And he says there right in 40, 39 and 40, you're going to end up in hell, because you're not only a sinner, you're a sinner of great magnitude, because you said this came from the Lord and it did not. It's been good to be here with you. I feel like I ran a race, Jonathan.
Yes, yes.
Between the Lines with Jonathan and David on WVFF 97.7, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.